Welcome to This Bible Podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
Hey, I am Jeremy, and I even use the pronouns he and him and his, and I am a person who gets paid by a church. I also am really interested in ancient spiritual texts as well as ancient meditation practices. I think right now are super interesting to me. To me, I find, you know, I'm sort of this mix of cerebral, like I really am interested in what this text is about and like, why does it say the things it does? And I'm also generally frustrated if that's the only thing, right? If my conscious mind is all that matters, like that's pretty boring. And I would much more experience things that are beyond consciousness, which takes me into the meditation side. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. If you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For the Lord will command the Lord's angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent because the Lord loves me, says the Lord. I will rescue him. I will protect you when you acknowledge my name. You will call on me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation.
Thanks be to God. You know, this is hard for me because I think something shifts or shifted for me, at least when I went from being a person who like read the Bible as something that like was true and whole. And like, I still think like everything is in the Bible is true and some of it actually happened. But I also like, I look at this like, oh, you will trample young lions and serpents underfoot, like, the angels will lift you up. Like that is just categorically untrue. Like I've been living in a pandemic for 2 years and I've yet to trample a serpent.
No serpents.
I hate snakes. Right.
Right. No, for sure. It's also for me, I think, you know, we have this like, I don't know what it is, but there's this like this weird thing that we do sometimes with the Bible. And I don't know why it is so deeply ingrained in me. It's probably because I grew up in like evangelical world where every time somebody said that the Bible wasn't literal, they had to spend at least an hour explaining why only this one part, only this one part,
everything else,
but this one part, not, it's like you can eat meat with blood still in it, like a rare steak, that is okay. But the verse before about tattooing, hell no.
Right. No tattoos. God hates tattoos.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, so, God also didn't send a vision to Peter saying like, ink up.
That's 100% true. But it's weird. I've been through graduate education about this crap. And like, I have moved halfway, well, actually all the way across the country to be in a place where there's a different perspective on spirituality. And still, I read this psalm and my reaction immediately is this reaction as if I'm back, I'm 12 years old, I'm listening to the evangelical pastor read this and talk about how God will save me from bad things in my life. Because I don't believe that's what happens.
Right.
Like, I've got, cool, man, I've got so much bad stuff happening in my life. And if the measure of whether or not God is real is how much bad stuff is in my life, like, God isn't real.
Right.
Right. So either God isn't real, or maybe the measure is off. There's an interesting idiom. It's an interesting idiom in Hebrew. So, the house of the Lord is an interesting idea, because the way that you referred to your family, right, was the house is the word bet, and then right. and then the kind of like technical term for this idiom is called the bet ab, which is the house of my father. And so the idea was that, like, it was twofold. There was an actual house, right? And we had like multi-family dwellings. So I would grow up as a kid. And then when I got married, I would build a room onto my parents' house and I would live there. And then my kids would build a room, you know, and we would have these like sort of sprawling compounds. And so when people met you, you would say, I am like, if my kids met me or met somebody, they would say, I'm of the house of Jeremy. And that the house of Jeremy meant two things. It meant the actual house that we lived in, but it also meant our family. And that, I think, is really interesting when you start to imagine, like, whoever lives as part of this family, because families in the ancient world are similar to the families of today, right? And they are just as unhealthy and healthy at times. And so being part of the family doesn't necessarily mean loving and liking and being nice to all the time, right? Like, I am routinely pissed at the universe or at God or however you want to describe it, right? And but that doesn't mean that I'm choosing to run away,
right,
to have another family. And
we should probably put a trigger warning in there for some people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah,
right. But because that is what it means to be in the house of the Lord, right? Is that, like, I can be pissed. I'm still in the house.
Yeah. I'm still part of the family. And, you know, to be honest, like, I think that's really helpful. I think even when you've experienced family trauma, you are part of the trauma is that you can never unfamily yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And like, like, that's, it's an interesting idea to think about that with God, right? Like, you know, this idea that God is committed to us beyond our commitment to God, right?
Like, leave me alone.
Yeah. I think I don't really understand all of it for sure. But this idea that, like, God believing in me, even if I don't believe in God, is really interesting, especially when you read something like this.
Yeah.
Like, that God offers these resources to God's family. And then you say, well, who is God's family? I don't think it's just the people that have said some magic prayer, the right sentences in a row. I think it's bigger than that. And I don't really know all of what it means, but I think dwelling in that house, being part of that family, sometimes you're a really good, productive part of the family. Sometimes you're not.
Sometimes you leave your laundry out. Yeah, that's
right. Sometimes you yell at everybody, you scream, you run out of the house, you get on bad terms with God, and you don't talk to God for several years or whatever.
Right.
God still loves you.
Yeah. I think like sometimes you are not kind to people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like being in the house of God means like, that's okay. You can still make a comeback.
Yeah.
And even when you're like in your darkest place, you're still loved, mm-hmm. which is, that's the hard one for me. I think you can always make a comeback, but that like when I am doing my worst,
yeah,
I am just as beloved.
Yeah.
Like that's the part that like I intellectually believe is true, but I don't often let that get in.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to pray with me?
Yeah, sure.
That's awesome. It'd be a rough edit if you had said no. Let me cut that off. Let's pray. God, for the ways that you make us uncomfortable with the people you include, we give you thanks. Help us to rest in you and help us to see the value in those who we may not have included. Help us to see the value in their rest in you. Help us to be more like Jesus, to be more compassionate, more concerned with justice, more concerned with centering our lives in who you are and allowing that to bring out our most authentic selves. Amen.
Man, you're such a better prayer than I am.
Oh, thanks. I've worked hard. Oh, well, this was a joy.